song. I like that. I like that part. It says, you might as well, see, you might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You will not prevail because Jesus never fails. Something like that. But we're not going to do that. I'm going to take the offering later. Forget the offering. Let's get in the Word. I want to talk to the mothers this morning, all right? Oh, I'm around some mothers of faith this morning. I can feel it all over this room. And I want you to know that you are a 21st century woman of faith. And you guys are being raised up in this hour to make a difference. And so I want you to go in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 1. Now, you know the scripture, don't you? Yeah, you do. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I want you to look at two words in that scripture. Two words in that scripture. The first one is substance, and the second one is evidence. You might want to write those down or make a mental note of those two words. Substance and evidence. Interestingly, as you look at that word and define it, the word substance is defined, if you could put my definition up there, it's talking about the ability to be able to create or to imagine. Now, I just want you to know, ladies, you have been given this as a blessing from God. Every woman in here has the ability to make something that is not a reality. You have been given the ability to make a house a home. There's something in you that God's done naturally that you transform stuff. Now, let me just tell you, the making or being made real of something imagined or planned. You have the ability to get us husbands to take the old wallpaper down and put up the new and replace the carpet even when we didn't want to do it. In other words, there's something in you that already sees it done before it ever manifests. That is a natural gift. But you couple that or you mix that or you join that with a word from God, and you begin to operate in faith in that thing, there's nothing that you can't do. You're literally unstoppable. But let me show you the word evidence, because the evidence is really key as well. It means this: realization. So the substance, or that thing that's imagined, or that thing that's planned, it is the realization or the confidence, the making or being made real of something imagined or planned, the quality or state of being certain. You get a woman with a made up mind, guys, you might as well just give in, because you're not going to change her mind. You get a woman with a plan and an imagination, and she already sees it done, she is going to make certain that it comes to pass. How many know what I'm talking about? Listen, when we first got married, we lived in Camden, New Jersey. I really didn't know what government housing was all about until we moved there, because we were in a military housing base and they gave us an apartment. Now, this apartment was built probably in 1940, and there had been hundreds of servicemen and women that lived in there. And we walked up the stairs and into this apartment, and I thought, oh my, so this is the ghetto. Hey, okay, here I am. I mean, it was run down. The kitchen sink was leaking. The place looked like I didn't even want to live there. I didn't want to go in there. But my wife walked in, and she's looking around, and she's saying, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's got potential. Come on, girls, say that with me. Potential. See, women can see what men can't see. How many know what I'm talking about? We went over to the used furniture store. Tina picked up an orange crate. On the way to the furniture store, as we're driving down the street. Now, I have to tell you, if you're ever behind me in a car, this car stops at garage sales and curbside garbage cans. My wife will say, stop the car! What? What did I hit? Go back! There's a chair back there. I want it. I'm like, a chair? So I go back and I swear, this is the honest truth. In my kitchen this morning, there is a chair that my wife, I don't even know where you got that chair. Okay, she paid for it. I would have paid you to take it away. She paid $5 for this chair. Chuck, I need counseling. Can I see you guys after church? It's a wicker base, you know, a wicker base. It's a cool looking chair. The only problem is the wicker's broken. If you sit in it, your booty will go right down through it. But you know what she says? I could fix it. Patty, you know what I'm... I could fix it. Honey, you haven't fixed the last 25 chairs that I had to throw away. It's got potential. You know, it's dangerous. My wife and I looked at a house the other day. Okay, it wasn't a house. It should have been condemned, but it's actually for sale. They ought to pay me to take it. There's no windows in it. There's a possum. There's a raccoon living in it. Three of the four basement walls are caved in. The water was up to the windowsills. But you know, she's walking around. I'm like gagging from the smell. I mean, my stomach is nauseated. She's going, it's got potential. It's got potential. I'm like, get me out of here. See, you women have the ability to take an orange crate, and Tina covered it with one of those like covers, you know, the chair cover, and put a little doily on it and a lamp that we got at the used furniture store, and it was an end table. I saw it as an orange crate. She saw it as an end table. Then we went over to the used furniture store, and we needed a couch, and we bought a brand new couch. But this couch didn't have wood on it. It was covered. It was cardboard covered over by material. And it was, but she said, it's got potential. It'll work. And I said, honey, this isn't worth the dime that we're spending on it. No, 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 it'll work great. You know, by the time we ended all of our little seek out and gathering stuff, that I don't know where she came up with this stuff. She knew it when she saw it, though. She already had it in her mind. She goes to a flea market. She drives down a street. She goes to a garage sale. She walks in. There it is. It's like love at first sight. That chair that's got no bottom on it. She falls in love. It runs to her. She runs to it. She picks it up. She actually pays for the stupid thing. Puts it in her car. She's got stuff hanging out the window, hanging out of the trunk. She's driving, can't hardly got room to steer, but she comes home. I took the van. I have an old van, a 2000 Windstar. I had to get in that van yesterday. You didn't tell me. You didn't tell me. There's a couch in my van. I get in this van. I'm like, where did this couch come from? In other words, she's got an imagination. And I have to tell you, our first apartment looked pretty good. By the time she finished, I felt comfortable there. She was able to transform it. I want to challenge us. I want to challenge the mothers in this room. You have a natural gift. You have an ability by God to take a situation that is compromised, a circumstance that nobody else will invest in, that you can see a thing that to everybody else has no potential. But to you, you can look at it and say, I can make that work. I can fix that thing. I can have this and this will be great. Come on, put it in the car. Let's take it home. And if you have that in the natural, let me tell you what you can do in the realm of faith. If you can just get a word and couple it with that natural ability that God has given, you are going to change this world. But so many of us, so many of our women, so many of our women of faith have been told lies by the devil. You're inferior. It's not your time. You're not good enough. Nobody will like it. You've had a couple of bad, disappointing experiences. You think that that's the way your life is going to go from here on out. Let me tell you something. That is not true. I'm here to announce today to every mom in this room that it's your turn. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, like, if you've ever played baseball or kickball and there's 15 people on your team and you're up number 14, and you're out there picking dandelions because number one, number two, and number three are up this inning, and you haven't even come to bat, or you haven't come to kick the ball yet. And finally, it's your turn, and everybody's looking around. Where's Louie? Where is he? Tell him it's his turn. Get up here. It's your turn. And I'm like, what? You've been so removed from the game that when you are called, you can't hardly turn yourself away from menial tasks that have become the object of your affection. You thought your life was nothing more than to sit on the sidelines and pick dandelions. Even though you're on the team, you've never had your turn to kick the ball. I want you to know something today. It's your turn. And you get up to that plate and you start swinging through to hit that ball. Because this is the time when God not only is going to give you a turn, but you are going to turn things in your life. You have that ability to do it. Now, I want you to look at something with me in the scripture, Psalm 121. This is really a good scripture. Psalm 121 in verse 1. Would you like to read it with me? Let's start with, I will lift. You ready? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Look at verse 2. Keep going with that scripture, please. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, understand something. The psalmist isn't saying that his help comes from a hill. The hill has power in it. No, no, no. If you understand Jerusalem, Jerusalem is set on a hill. The temple is on a hill. You can come any direction to Jerusalem and you can look up. You can see it. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they say, let us go up to the house of the Lord. It was about a 17-mile journey up from Jericho. It was up. Ark of God, the covenant, the presence of the Lord was elevated. And what the psalmist was saying is, my help comes from the presence of the Lord. And the focus of every woman in this room, every woman of faith in this 21st century, has to become on the presence of the living God. And when your focus is on the presence of the living God, and you get a word from God, let me tell you something. There is no devil in hell that can stop you from doing whatever God's put in your heart. This is your time. This is your turn. And without mothers of faith in the house of God, the church will go nowhere. We need mothers of faith. We need women who are ready to see the potential in a thing. Because without them, we're not going to be able to survive. Listen to what the scripture says in verse 3 and 4 of Psalm 121. And I want to bring your attention to this because this is really powerful. He said, I'm not going to allow your foot to be moved. Who keeps you will not slumber. I don't know how many steps you take a day, but God knows about every one of them. God knows about every step that you take. Look at verse 4. It tells us there that God himself will keep Israel. He will never slumber and he will never sleep. Listen, you may have a night when you can't sleep. You may have a night or a day when that's all you do is sleep. But let me tell you something. God will never sleep. God will never slumber on your watch. Matter of fact, he is keenly invested and watching over you at this very moment. He's beginning to sense the rise of the faith level in your heart. Because we have to get out of our thinking what this world has put in our thinking. You don't have to be some diva walking around with some kind of an image that the world expects you to walk in. Or you don't have to fulfill some image that the religious world has created for you as a woman to fit into. Doesn't matter what culture, doesn't matter what denomination. They've always tried to limit women, or they try to put women in a category. You know, as long as you're barefoot, long as you're pregnant, as long as you're working in the nursery, just don't get in the pulpit because you're not allowed to preach because you're a woman. Listen to me, you got to throw off the shackles. You've got to throw off the mentality that the world and the church has even tried to put you in. You've got to recognize that you're a woman with an imagination. You have creative ability, and this is your time. You've got to get your look back. You've got to start looking to the hills. Let me tell you something about the look. You know what I'm talking about? You men know what I'm talking about. When your wife gives you that look, put that look up there on the screen. That one that says, wait till you get home. I'm going to whoop your booty. You know, it's an interesting thing. My wife doesn't have to say a word to me. You know, we could be like living and doing our thing, and I'm happy, she's happy, and all of a sudden she has this look. And then I don't know what to say, but what? Why? What did I do? What? She said, you acting stupid. You know what you did. And she doesn't even say anything. She just looks. She's got that look. And when that one doesn't work, she'll put on another look. Give me another look. She'll give me a different look, a different face. She'll say, baby, please, if you do this for me, you'll be my little puppy. See, they got these looks. They know how to work this thing. Or give me another look. Give me another look. Like, everything's going to be all right. I got this under control. Don't say another word. I know what I'm doing. You know, it's the takeover look. It's the takeover look. Don't. Shh, 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 shh. Give me another look. Is there another look up there? You ladies know you're good at this. Come on, give me another look. Flip. Flip. Okay. I guess there ain't no more looks. I thought there was one more look. Isn't there one more look? No, there's no. That's it. Okay, let me give you one. See, you and I have to get our look back. But we're not looking to this world. We're not looking to people. We're looking to the hill. We're looking to the presence of God. Our eyes are fixed upon Jesus. Our eyes are fixed on Him. Ladies, it's time for you to take it back. It's time for you to take your imagination and your creative natural ability and couple it with a word from God and watch what's going to happen. In 1 Kings 18, there was a great story. It's a story about Elijah and the God of Baal. It's at Mount Carmel. You remember that story? And Elijah challenges Baal. He says, hey, get your God to answer with fire. I'll get my God to answer with fire. We'll see which God is really God, whoever answers with fire. So prophets of Baal are up there. And they're like, okay, we'll go first. That's been the problem with women of faith. Somebody's always stepped in front of you. But I've got good news, so you hold on. See, that thing that they thought was going to work, that approach to life, how to raise children, how to be your own woman, how to tell your man how to live, how to take control over everything. No, wait a minute. Baal didn't answer by fire. And pretty soon Elijah started mocking what was mocking him. He said, hey, where's your God? Is he indisposed? Actually, if you read the Hebrew, he said, is he on the toilet? He did. He was making fun of him. They started cutting themselves and bleeding and screaming, oh, you got to do this. And then suddenly, Elijah said, okay, it's my turn now. And he pushed him out of the way. And the Bible said that when he called on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fire fell from heaven and consumed and licked up the sacrifice. What I'm wanting to say today with every mother in here, it's now your turn. It's now your turn to take over, because God has given you a promise that is exceptional. It is unbelievable. And when you begin to walk in it by faith, things will begin to change. Let me show you. This is a wonderful, wonderful scripture. Verses 5 through 8 of Psalm 121 reads this way. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Watch this. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out, and the Lord shall preserve your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now listen, isn't that powerful? What God wants to do for you? But wait, there's more. There's more that God wants to do for a woman of faith, not just for you, but for those that are connected to you. And this is where you've got to get your fight back. This is where you've got to throw off the mentality of a world that says you have no right. This is where you've got to bust through all the religious obstacles and take your place in the kingdom of God. Watch Psalm 91, verses 9 to 10. Psalm 91, 9 to 10. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Hear me now. When you make the Lord your dwelling, when you make a decision, woman of faith, 21st century woman, that as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. I want you to know I'm getting up in the morning and I'm going to be in the presence of God. I'm going to go throughout my whole day walking in the glory of God. I just want you to know I've made the Lord and the presence of God my very dwelling place. But this is something that happens that's just incredible. When you do that, the Bible says no evil will come against you and no plague will come to your house. Wait a minute, your house, that means whoever's in my dwelling. Now here's some of the sentiments. Mom, get out of my room. Now I'm going to be real nice today, but let me just tell you, until you can show me a deed or title to that space, that ain't your room. That's my dwelling place. Mom, it's my phone. Oh, Jesus. I'm feeling the anointing right now. That's my computer. No. Until you can show me title deed to that which you call mine, it is in my dwelling. And if it's in my dwelling, it belongs to me. That means you belong to me. And everything you've got belongs to me. Now I've got extra security in the parking lot because I don't want nobody jumping me after church. I know. Some of you teenagers, you don't like me, but now you really don't like me. I'm glad we don't have hymnals. You know, in the old church, I've had a few hymnals thrown at me. That's why we don't have them anymore. They're weapons of mass destruction. Well, take that, preacher. Psh, boom. Oh. Blessed assurance. You see, it says it won't abide with you or your house. Now, this is something you women of faith have got to begin to embrace. You are not the tail. Your children are not in charge. It's your dwelling. It will be what you make it. There will be no evil and no plague shall come near your house. Now, here's kind of what it means. When you make the Lord your dwelling place, you get an extended warranty. It's up on the screen. It's called a certificate of warranty. Here's what it reads. This official warranty certifies that the holder, mom, is guaranteed the full benefits and entitlements offered by the promises of God, including but not limited to protection from the powers of evil, malicious plots of the enemy, and all types of villainy. I like that. Villainy. And general wickedness. Furthermore, this certificate verifies that all of the entitlements therein are extended to the holder's family and are all those under the roof of the holder's home. You see, there comes a time as a mother that you've got to stand in the middle of your bean field like Shammah and say, my name is Shammah, and you can't have my beans. There has to become this look that you give the devil and you stare him down. And when the devil gets on your kids, you stare them down too and say, you don't want some of this. I'm just trying to get a look. I'm not tough. I'm really a pumpkin, really, but I'm just trying to get my look on. You don't want this. I can't even do it. But you know what I'm talking about. You women can get the look. She can give me a look like I'm like, ah, I'm sorry. Makes me melt. She got a couple of looks that make me melt. But that one, I'm like, oh, I'm in trouble now. There is a moment when you understand that it's your time and it's your turn to take over your dwelling and to throw off the philosophies and the sentiments of this world that says you don't have a right and you don't have a place. Joshua 24 and 15, Joshua declared this when he said, as for me and my house, Rahab the harlot in Joshua 2 said it. She said, oh, thank you. You're going to save me when you come back. They go, yeah, because you helped us out. She said, great. I want all my family saved too. And you know, God honored that because they were in her dwelling. What's in your dwelling is under your protection. What's in your dwelling is under your authority. What's under your dwelling is under your empowerment of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this to the women of faith in this room. If sickness has plagued you, if inferiority has plagued you, if emotional or depression or somehow feeling like a second-class citizen has taunted you, if abuse has wrecked you, if any kind of abandonment has caused confusion or pain in you, let me tell you something. It's your turn. It's your turn to take that thing and begin to take authority over it, because God said, no plague and no evil shall come near thee when you make the Lord your dwelling. And listen, if you have to praise through with tears streaming down your face and your gut ripped in two because of the sorrow and the pain, and you stand in the place of worship and you decree and you declare over your family and over your life that it's my turn, and God's promised me that my house will serve the Lord. You see, we need these 21st century women of faith to rise up. The church can't do it without you. We need to empower women today to be able to take their place. Because sometimes when fear knocks, when fear knocks, I'm telling you, don't answer the door. The next time fear knocks, why don't you just send faith to answer the door? Because faith in what God has said, mixed with your natural imagination and your certainty to get a thing done. I feel sorry for guys, you know, that work at Home Depot. I really do. When my wife goes into Home Depot or Lowe's, I just sit back and smile because they all think they can tell her it can't be done. I sit there and think, you know, for 40 years I've tried that and she won't be convinced. They'll say, ma'am, this won't fit in the car. You'll have to go get a truck. She said, I'll make this fit in the car. I said, no, it's not going. And I'm sitting there saying, sweetheart, it's not going to fit. I mean, you can't. She goes, I'll put it on the roof. I said, you can't put it on the roof. It's going to scratch my car. She said, I'll put a little blanket on it. I said, yeah, but it'll slide up. No, she said, I'll tie it down. I said, well, you can't tie it. She says, I'll hold on to it. I'll ride on the top. And so I'm driving home 20 miles an hour, and I'm yelling out the window, are you okay, honey? Because she's determined that it's her turn. It's her time. It's her life. It's her dwelling. And you've got to stop letting people and circumstances intimidate you, push you back and push you down. God before you, who can be against you? You're a woman of faith. Release your faith. Release your prophetic utterance. Let this world know that there is a righteous seed on the earth that are raising godly men and godly women that are going to literally impact the nations of the earth. I just recently had my car buffed out and waxed. My little Honda. I love my little Honda. It's 2003. I had it painted really nice. Not so nice now, but it's got scratches on the roof and the trunk. And you know what's cool about it is you open the trunk and you know that little rubber seal piece? That's gone. She can't lift it. She just gets it in there, however. And if you've been around my wife any length of time, she just paints stuff. It doesn't matter. You say, well, that's not the right color. She said, I can paint that. So, honey, you can't paint furniture. I would bring it out right now. I have a chair in my little conference room that was green at a garage sale. Tina didn't see it green. She saw it white. So she took some Rust-Oleum white enamel and spray painted it. It's in my office. It's white. One day she was spray painting some stuff that I don't know what she was doing. She was spray painting it. I said, honey, be careful now. That overspray, my car is not far from where you're spray painting. No problem, she said, I won't bother it. I came out and my car, black, has white enamel specks all over my car. I said, sweetheart, I love you so. It was you? And so every time I get in my car, I get this visions of my wife's imagination and her creativity. And driving around with it, it's a sign, it's a symbol of covenant. And just recently I took it in and I had it all buffed out. And they got it all off. Jeff, you should have seen it this morning. I washed my car before church. I was so proud. I wouldn't even wash it before. I wanted it dirty to cover it up because I was so embarrassed. Here come the pastor in his car. White specks all over the car. There was a time in my life, in our marriage, I would tell my wife, no! No, this is absolutely no, no! She'd walk away. She'd try all the looks. You know, all that stuff. And I wouldn't budge. And it would cause conflict in our life. Conflict in our marriage. Now, I went and looked at this house. It wasn't a house. It was a, I don't know, what would you call it? She said it's a cool house. Nobody lives there. The raccoon doesn't even like it. He ran out when we got into the basement. Anyway, now I walk in with her and I've learned something. You better shut up. Because God likes her. And he will do whatever she's got faith to accomplish. So I'm like walking through and going, I said, honey, you go for it. If anybody can do it, you can do it. I know you can. You've got the ability. I celebrate you. I am so thankful for you. Let's go buy a house with no roof. Let's go get it. What I'm trying to say is this. Come on, guys. You've got to release your wives to operate in their level of faith. They've got great faith. And they've got great ability and great imagination. And they can accomplish great things. And so tonight, or today rather, we've got to allow the women of faith to rise. You know why? Because there's a generation coming behind us that need a place of rest. Matthew 13, I'm going to close with this, verse 32. Simply says this, that seed, that mustard seed grows and it gets to be a large tree. And the Bible says that the birds of the air come and they nest in its branches. See, your faith is producing a resting place for others. A resting place for our children. Don't back down. I'm not trying to say take on conflict with your kids, but I'm telling you this, it's your dwelling. I'm not trying to tell you that you need to take on some crazy project. What I'm telling you is to walk by faith. Get a word from God. Get a word from God and stand in it and move in it, and you can accomplish anything God puts in your spirit. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter about your failures. It doesn't matter about what you've done or what others have done to you. This is a new hour, a new day. It's your turn. It's your turn. You've been sick long enough. You've been inferior long enough. You've been pushed back and pushed down long enough. It is time for you now to rise up and be the woman of faith that God needs in this hour. And every woman in here can accomplish that and provide that place of rest. We need to declare like Elijah, it's my turn. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my mother in many ways was very cruel to us when she punished us. I remember one time talking in church, just talking, not texting. When we got home, linoleum floors, rice on the floor, roll up those pants, boy, kneel and put your nose in the corner. I said, on the rice? Uncooked rice. When I got up, I had to pick the rice out of my kneecaps. I should have called 911. And, you know, she'd grab a hold of me. I don't really want to illustrate this because I don't want to hurt anybody, but she'd always got my ear. She'd grab hold, what are you doing? But she just didn't grab it and ask me. She emphasized it like this. What do you think you are doing? Ladies, the next time a word of fear comes out of your mouth, grab yourself by the ears. The next time doubt comes into your mind, grabbed yourself by the ears and say, don't you think like that. You're a woman of faith, and this is your time. This is your turn. Now, if you can't do it yourself, don't ask your husband, because he probably will take you up on it. But you really need to check the words of your mouth and recognize that you are a difference maker in this generation. So I bless every mother now. I bless every mother in this room. And I release them into a new level of faith. I want every mom to please stand. Every mom to just stand on your feet, if you will. Would you bow your heads? I'm asking every mother to stand. But I'm asking you to do more than stand. I'm asking you to take your place. Your place is in your dwelling that you've made with God. I want you to recommit that your dwelling will become the tabernacle of the Most High God. And no matter what, you'll look through every circumstance like Stephen, and you'll gaze upon the glory of God. Stones hurled like accusations and rejection, plummeting you, bruising you, and yet your eyes are fixed upon Jesus. Resistance, negativity, bad reports, but yet you look through every one of them and you reach up to heaven and you gaze into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you now to make that commitment to Jesus. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. No plague shall come near me. No evil shall overtake me. I am a woman of faith, and I now take my place. I know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God, I thank you that every woman that's standing today, Lord, they are those who are creating in this world through their imagination, through their creative ability, that which has been unseen and that will build the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, that there's a release of the prophetic in them. They will see visions. They will see signs. They will declare the wonders of the Lord. I pray, God, that they will have a now word. They will see ahead of every circumstance in their children. They will have discernment over their household and their husband and over their kids. In every facet of their life, they will be women with undeniable distinction of the mark of God upon their lives. And we thank you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now I'm asking for everybody to please stand to your feet, please. Your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. You say, hey, Pastor, if I were to die today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to live my life for Jesus Christ. I want to walk by faith. I want God to be my dwelling place. Man, nobody looking around, that's you today. You say, Pastor, I need prayer. Pray for me. I want to pray for you. So if that's you, that's your need, that's your cry, that's your heart's desire, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift your hand up high enough for me to see it. That's all you've got to do. That's an easy thing. That's an acknowledgement. The Bible says, whosoever shall confess with their mouth. That's what you're doing. You're saying, yes, I need God. Do you need God? Do you want heaven and not hell? I got to have him. I got to have the kingdom of God in my life. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm going to count to three. Simple equation. On the count of three, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Are you ready? Don't put it off. Don't resist. You know if God's speaking to you. Are you ready? One, two, three. Raise your hand. That's you. All over this room. Come on, get it up. I want to see it. High, 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 high. Hand there, hand there, hand there, hand there. Hand over there, hand over there. Where else? Hand over there, hand over there. Hand in the back. You could put them down. Christians all over this room are praying right now. I'm going to ask you, Christians, to make intercession for those that might be stuck and sit in darkness right now. But we're going to use our faith to pry off the grip of death from their life and let them come free. Are you ready? Come on, pray. Just pray. Just however the Lord has you, pray. Pray right now. The power of agreement. The power of agreement. The power of agreement. Sir, we're praying for you. Did you know that? I know you didn't raise your hand, but we're praying for you. Ma'am, we're praying for you. That's right, for you, because God's put you as a burden on our heart. I'm going to ask again, but the people that raised your hand the first time, don't raise it this time. But those that did not, and you know you need to, are you ready? On three, I want you to raise it. One, two, three. Say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I didn't do it the first time, but I'll do it now. Lift it up high enough for me to be able to see it. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on. Thank you. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. That's your time. This is your turn. Come on. You're up. You're up. It's your turn. It's your turn. And you're up. Come on. You got to come to the plate. Altar ministers, come around the front, please. Those of you that raise your hand, I want you to be bold enough. I want you to have confidence enough. I want you to get out from where you are. We want to pray with you. I don't want you to have to think about it and wrestle over it and debate over it. Just get out from where you're standing. And I want you to come to one of these that are standing across the front. And while the rest of us celebrate you and your choice. Come on, let's give them a hand clap. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, if you raise your hand, come. Come if you raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Say, baby, did you raise your hand? I'll go with you. Come on. Did you raise your hand? Come on. I'll go with you. Take him by the hand right now. Say, come on. We're going. Come on. Did you raise your hand? I'm going with you. Come on. 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 This is your time. This is your turn. Hallelujah. Come on. There you go. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. You're making this decision today that you want God. You want kingdom of God. You want heaven and not hell. You want your destiny and your purpose. You want to discover that. Come on. Thank you. Come on. They're still coming. Come on. They're still coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, young lady. Come on, young man. Come on over here. There was a hand raised. Come on. Come on. That's good. Come on. 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 Now here you got to do this with me. Practice that look. Look at somebody and say, do you need Jesus? If you need Jesus, let's go and pray. This is your moment. Come on, look at somebody. Take them by the hand. Say, look, you can't resist this look. I want you to know that God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God wants you to know that there is a destiny and a purpose. You don't have to miss it. Isn't it wonderful? And then bring them to the front. Would you stretch your hand out to these, please? Come on, let's pray for them. Father, we thank you today that you are blessing everyone, young, old, male, female. Thank you, Lord. There's more coming. Come on. There's more coming. Father, we thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon them and that you are drawing them, God, into a purpose and to a future and into a destiny with you. And we are so thankful and grateful for that. We bless these now, and we ask, God, that you fill them with the Holy Spirit and the power of God, that they will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Before we go, oh, the offering. Yeah, we need to take the offering. I kind of forgot about that. Can we just give it at the door? Is that okay? Ushers, would you? Is that okay, ushers? I'm sorry. All right. We're just going to give it at the door on your way out. And I just want to say, tell two or three people it's your turn. You got to encourage them. Because some people that feel like that's never going to come, but it's going to come. You live right, love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you Wednesday night right here. Church on the North Coast. We love you. God bless you.